Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.
Todd never sugarcoats it. Does he tell it straight? You bet. Does he deliver with a sense of humor? Always.
I always start my Sunday mornings off listening to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. It has tons of information, and he has such a great sense of humor.
My friends and I always tune in to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Hold on tight. Don't let go. It's time for the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
Welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Good morning, good evening, and good night. I'm yours truly, attorney Todd L. Levitt, broadcasting once again from the mothership in the middle of the mitten, pure Michigan, baby, a beautiful green nutrient field. The weather is warm, the sky is blue, the water is wet, and I love you. Craig Russell, welcome to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show featuring my co-host, Craig Russell, and also joining us once again, Nick the Beard.
That's Nick the Beard.
Hey now.
I can rap too.
Can you?
Yeah. Just like Sugar Hill Gang. I said a hip hop, the hibbity hop, we jam, jam. Listen, nobody wants to hear me rap. Hey, no. We opened up the show, by the way, with one of my all-time favorite, Joe Jackson.
This
Look
week?
Sharp.
Top five
top,
this week.
No, he's my top this week.
Top five in general.
Love Joe Jackson.
Yeah. Stepping up tonight.
He was a great musician.
Yes, he was. Very much so.
His lyrics, the instrumentals. He plays every instrument, Joe Jackson. Way underrated. You're a radio guy.
Yep.
Isn't Joe Jackson underrated?
Very much so. Yeah. Part of that 80s new wave thing that came in the early 80s.
I caught the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame on HBO this past week.
Oh, right on.
They were inducting Bon Jovi.
Yep.
Another great group from the 80s, 90s, and present. I saw those guys in concert. Moody Blues, which is way overdue to be inducted in the hall. How do you induct the Moody Blues the first year the hall was open?
Well,
Nights in White Satin.
There's been a lot of good
That's a
bands.
Great song.
That is a good song.
Does Nick the Beard know
Nights in White Satin?
I do not.
How old are you, Nick the Beard?
25.
Why are we calling you Nick the Beard?
I'd say it's probably my big, full, bushy beard that I got going on.
If you just tuned in for the first time, Nick the Beard is behind-the-scenes producer, and last week we invited him on the show. He was such a hit that we had to have you back on, and you're going to be on for quite some time.
I'm glad to be back, and I'm looking forward to it. It's a good time on this show.
Young
really
guy, 25 years of age, all inked out with earrings, beard, and you have a fishing site on Instagram.
I do. Raw Thumb is the handle. You go out there, you can see all my Michigan outdoor activities. Me and my friends just go all over the state, try to go after big fish. We just enjoy the outdoors and what this beautiful state offers us out here.
That's outstanding.
I got to know, do you use any product on that beard?
I do. I'm not a fan of people that have, you know, the real nasty, straggly beard. So I have plenty of balms, waxes, oils. There's a lot of beard products you would not know about that actually really make a big difference in how your beard looks.
How long has it been since you've shaved that beard? How long have you been growing that beard?
It'll be 6 months at the end of this month, actually.
Dude, if I try and grow 6 months, it looks like it was a week. I swear to God, that is an impressive beard for 6 months. You ever grow a beard, Todd? You ever had a beard?
I can't grow a beard because I have too much hair on my head. And no, it's a true story. I do have a lot of hair on my head.
Yeah, you do.
It grows upwards, and I can't grow a beard. I have no idea why. So
some people can't do it. I got my facial hair ability from my dad. My dad can grow a beard in 3 days. I can't grow one to save my life.
No beard hair.
Hey, but
by the way,
we got a beard here.
Yeah, I don't know. And no one in my family really had a beard growing up. And then one summer, I was like, you know what? I'm just going to try grow it out. And then I have a good looking beard, so I just keep doing it.
And it's a great mustache too. It's a big full mustache. It works.
That's my key point. If you, not necessarily, I've seen people with nice beards that don't have a mustache, but if you got the mustache beard combo, there's no reason you shouldn't grow a beard.
That's the game right there. I'd like to see you without the beard, but with the mustache.
I've actually grown my beard out for a full year, kept the full year length mustache, and rocked it for probably a month, and it was pretty impressive, but you still get a little strange looks just rolling around with a mustache.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you do.
We have a huge show.
Yeah, we do.
We have a huge show. We're going to be talking. We have a number of emails from listeners.
To the new email address.
To the new email address.
Which is?
ToddLevittLawShow@gmail.com. So
that's
if
right.
you have a question for us, and we have listeners from all over the country.
All over the world.
We're podcasting on Libsyn. Check out Libsyn, SoundCloud.
Spotify,
all the Android apps.
iTunes.
Google Play.
You know it, Apple.
Store. We have a couple questions that we're going to get to in regards to medical marijuana. Imagine that.
What do you know?
I know. What do you know?
Big surprise.
And by the way, next week on the show, we have a veterinarian coming on the show.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, and he's going to be talking about, amongst other things, some of the effects that CBDs and cannabis has on animals. Because, you know, you've heard stories of, you know, different types of animals, depending on what type of pet you have, mainly dogs and cats, ingesting brownies and other types of foods that have certain ingredients in them. So we're going to be talking with a doctor next week. He's coming on the show.
All right.
Looking forward to that.
That'll be fun.
And this week, I want to give a big shout out to Andy.
Andy.
Nice lady from Remus, Michigan.
Oh, okay.
I was actually in a Walmart, a little plug for Walmart there. And I had a pretty full cart, and she had a pretty full cart, but she obviously thought my cart was fuller than hers, and she gave me cuts. Can you believe that?
Really?
Yeah, is that
she obviously doesn't know you.
No, but I always have complaints about grocery stores.
I know.
But this time someone gave me cuts, and I took it because she truly did have more than I did, and I was in a hurry. I had to get somewhere. I didn't say I was in a hurry, but I had to get somewhere. Do you have any complaints this week, Craig?
I really don't have any complaints. I'm surprised that you were in a grocery store and you don't have a complaint. That's actually bigger news than if you had a complaint.
Don't get me started.
I'm trying not to. I know
don't
how
get
this
me
goes.
You had a question about the mud, sweat, and beers.
I did. How did that go? That was a big mountain bike race in Traverse City last week, all the way up and down through Mount Holiday, if you know where that is.
It was 25 miles. I mentioned this last week, but Jordan Wakely, of course, won.
Right.
He's a pro racer for Michigan Mountain Bike. He does single speed, fat bikes. Jordan wins on everything. Kickbush took second. I finished an hour later. I'll tell you, it was a brutal course. It was 25 miles, a couple thousand, over 1,000 plus elevation, single track through lumber country, the Vasa Trail. It was a beautiful race. All the funds go to charities in Traverse City. They raised over $400,000. So big kudos to all the men and women and young folks who volunteered to put on the mud, sweat, and beers. And, of course, after the race, there was some great beer. I finished. Levitt Law Firm Racing definitely placed and finished. So it was
awesome. Good. That's good.
It was a good race. It was good. I was hydrated. I was fueled, and I'm ready for the next one.
When is the next one? What are you
training
doing next?
For some 100-milers right now.
Ooh.
Oh, yeah.
That
so
sounds.
I'll keep you updated.
That sounds taxing. Did you take any GoPro with this?
No, I'm not GoPro it, no.
Oh, okay.
No.
Will you at some point?
No.
No?
Because
okay.
you get too distracted.
Oh, I
got
you.
I was out biking last week in one of the backcountry roads, and I came across a litter of fox pups.
Wow.
Yeah, baby foxes, five of them. They were burrowed in their burrow, and one came back out who was really brave. I'm not sure if it was male or female. I didn't get that close to look. And I took a nice picture that I showed you and Nick. Nick the beard son.
That's right.
Nick actually has a bearded dragon. Speaking of bearded dragons, right,
how does that work out?
I mean, it's a pretty laid-back, easy, taken care of animal. It doesn't really do all that much until you get it out to feed it. But last week, it laid 25 eggs out of nowhere, all over the floor. Don't have a male. I know now that it's a female, but it just laid a ton of eggs.
Now, has it got as impressive beard as you have?
I'd say when it gets angry, it flexes it out, and the skin underneath pops out real far, and it looks like it has a beard.
That's why they call it that.
Yeah, I was surprised, but don't make it too angry, or it's gonna scare you with its looks.
If you get it angry, it won't like you if it's angry.
Absolutely.
Remember that Incredible Hulk? Remember that? Remember that? You know, Incredible Hulk, when he would, before he would turn green, he'd like, you won't like me if I'm angry. And he gets angry and he goes. You have no idea.
No idea what you're talking about with Incredible Hulk. Craig.
Todd.
Nick the Beard.
Yes.
We have some emails to get to.
Yeah, we
people
do.
Actually, let's get to some of the things why they actually tune into the show.
Right on.
Here's Talk Law.
Todd Levitt Law
this
Show.
This is a law show.
That's at right.
I'm a criminal defense attorney from mid-Michigan all the way to the great state of Superior. By the way, my St. Ignace, Michigan office is officially open.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. I was there a couple weeks ago putting some letters on the window that says, you know, Attorney Todd L. Levitt.
Right.
And no joke, I'm not making this up. I'm not trying to be funny. A pigeon flew by and nailed me right on my thigh. I didn't even see it.
Oh.
I'm getting ready to get in my truck.
Oh.
And Karen says, look at your inner thigh.
Yeah.
Thinking, how the heck did that happen?
Get out of here.
No joke. So that was my introduction to St. Ignace, Michigan, which, by the way, folks, is where you catch the boats to Mackinac Island.
Yes. Beautiful area.
The question we have when we come back from break is from a listener in Caseville, Michigan, who's interested in some information regarding their medical marijuana application. What is it, Craig?
It has to do with the medical marijuana application and their card and whether they can get product. We will get to that after we take a break on the Todd L. Levitt Law Show.
We'll be right back. Take us out, Craig. Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show, broadcasting in the middle of the mitten from the Black Diamond Mothership, hundreds of thousands of watts strong, podcasting from, you know, universe to universe in this great planet of ours, and coming back strong with Joe Jackson.
You love Joe Jackson.
Love Joe Jackson, one of my favorite all-time groups from the 80s. Back to the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, the Cars also got inducted last week.
Now, you know Rick Ocasek, lead singer of the Cars?
I do.
You know, he's married to supermodel Paulina Poroskova?
I did.
They are now split up.
I knew that.
Been married for 32 years.
I heard that on your radio show, The Morning Hustle with Craig Russell.
It's crazy. Thank you for the plug, by the way. It's crazy. 989-772-6000. Todd Levitt. I had to do that, too. It's crazy. She's weird. Because they posted this big thing on Instagram about how they were a four tandem person bike and now they're splitting up and the bike and the two wheels, one's falling off and something like that. And they're not a good bike together. And I'm like, what are you talking about? It was
okay,
all weird.
That's not weird. I'm a biker. I shred the gnar on single tracks, as do most of my friends.
Okay.
And the bike analogy does not mean someone is weird. I have a carbon fiber salsa spearfish. And most of you might not know what that is, but some of you will. And I understand that analysis, that if something's wrong with your spike, your wheel, the hub, the whole machine's going to break down. So she's just giving an analogy like that. But hey, we're a law show. We know we have to get to law.
No, but I'm going
to
say,
because that's why people tune in. We're not entertainment tonight.
I understand.
Okay, or Inside Edition or People Magazine.
I'm going to say one more thing. Rick Ocasek is the lead singer of who?
The Cars.
Not the bikes. Make it a car
analogy. Ooh, okay.
Make it a car analogy. Look, that's all I was saying. If she's going to do anything.
We have a question. The question was from one of our listeners in Caseville, Michigan, which is in the thumb.
ToddLevittLawShow@gmail.com.
Cheeseburger Festival, by the way, up in Caseville.
Yes,
Nick is.
Is
from the thumb. We'll get
is.
To that here in a minute.
And the question had to do with, I've applied for my medical marijuana card, and I have the application, but I've not received the card yet. I heard a rumor that I can take the application to a dispensary and use that to purchase product. Is that true?
That is not true. That is inaccurate.
Okay.
Applicants often receive inaccurate information from third parties. That inaccurate information results in their applications being delayed or denied. So either go online, if you're in the state of Michigan, look up LARA, the Department of Licensing and Regulatory Affairs. If you have a question, all your questions will be answered there.
until you receive your actual card in the mail, you cannot walk into a dispensary and legally purchase medicine.
Okay.
Once you're allowed to do so.
When you have the card, when you actually get
your physical
card. It's not like a driver's license when you apply for a driver's license. Isn't it? Can't you take, you get a permit and you can drive, say, some with someone with a permit until you get your physical license? It's kind of the same deal.
Yeah. And you know, the Michigan Medical Marijuana Program, the MMP, the Michigan Medical Marijuana Program is a state registry program that administers the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act, as approved by the Michigan voters back in 2008. But the MMMP is a division within the Bureau of Medical Marijuana and is separate from the facilities licensing division within the BMMR. I mean, there's a lot of different intricacies here, but they're governed by different laws. But if you're applying for a card, wait till you get that card in the mail. Now, hold on a second. Hold on. I had a case that I got dismissed. Okay. I do a lot of possession of marijuana cases, possession of opiates and narcotic cases. That's one of my specialties.
Okay.
And 2 years back, I had an individual who was pulled over in a motor vehicle, and after a probable cause, you know, the officer determined that this individual was possessing a certain amount of cannabis. The officer said, "Are you a card holder?" And the individual said, "Well, I've applied to obtain my card, but I don't physically have it yet." So the individual was placed under arrest, had to post bond, and charged with possession of marijuana.
Okay.
Okay. Knowing what I know as an attorney, I had my client sign a release through the state of Michigan and was able to obtain records from Lara that the application was actually stamped and the individual's money received, the money order. Therefore, legally at this point in time, prior to this individual being stopped and arrested, she was a valid Michigan medical marijuana card holder.
Wow.
And she didn't even know it yet. But under the law, I was able to show the prosecutor that, and they agreed and dismissed the case. They nally prossed it.
Wow.
How's that? So as an attorney, you can't just take things on face value. You have to do your due diligence and actually look into these cases and dig into it. Nick, have you ever heard anything like that before?
I have not. That is very interesting to know that it was behind the scenes, even though there was no physical card. You saw that it was actually, she was a legal card holder.
Well, as someone that specializes in, you know, these cases and the Medical Marijuana Act, as I have in the state of Michigan, I knew to contact Lara because I said to my client, "When did you submit your application? How long ago was it?" And they said, "Oh, we submitted it, you know, so many weeks back." Let me have you sign this release. Let me find out if, in fact, they cashed your money order, which they did, and they stamped your application, which they did. And under the law, again, legal card holder, albeit it was not sent out to the state. Now, here's another analogy. Let's just completely switch gears here.
Okay.
If you are in court and you plead guilty, let's in almost any state, especially the state of Michigan, to operating while visibly impaired, and based on your driving record, more than likely you're going to obtain a 90-day restricted license. But when you're in court, the court does not suspend your license. They notify the Secretary of State. The Secretary of State under Michigan law is the only one that can suspend your license in most cases. There's a couple, only maybe one or two cases where the court can do it. But people ask me all the time, when is my license officially suspended? Is it when I receive notice? Here, I'll ask you and Nick.
Okay.
Craig, you're in court. You pled guilty to operating while visibly impaired.
Okay.
You will, based on the formula of your driving record and the history, you're going to obtain a 90-day restricted license that's going to allow you to drive to and from during the course of employment, you know, medical emergencies, court proceedings, and educational reasons. That's it. And you have to carry proof of destination with you at all times and proof of insurance. People always get themselves in trouble because they're not carrying proof of destination, and that's a violation of your restricted license. It's a misdemeanor. You're going to have to go back to court, and you're violating your probation. So now you pled guilty, the court notifies the state of Michigan.
Okay.
When you walk out of court today, you still have what's called a 65G permit on you, which is your temporary full driver's license in the state of Michigan. The question is, when are you restricted? Is it one, when you receive it in the mail from the Department of State?
Okay.
Or two, when they mail it out to you? That's the question. So again, question is, are you waiting to receive it in the mail and then your suspended license starts? Or is it when the state actually suspends it on their computer system and then mails it? So let me go back. Is it when the state suspends it,
prior to you being notified, or is it when you receive it in the mail? So do you have to have receipt of the suspension for you to be put on notice that it's suspended and you can no longer drive and operate a motor vehicle in the state of Michigan?
Well, hearing your story and the analogy before about the client that you got off, I would have to say it's probably when the state actually stamps it. You don't have to have it because she didn't have to have her card yet.
Let's ask Nick the Beard.
I would have to agree with Craig. Once it's stamped and in their system and it is not in your possession but sent out, I would say that's when you are suspended.
So you guys are correct.
Okay.
And it's something I inform my clients. I tell the clients, look, the court, you entered a plea of guilty today. The court is notifying the Department of State, Secretary of State, and this applies whatever state, you know, our listeners are listening in.
Right.
And as soon as they input the information in the system, your license is officially suspended. The problem is nobody actually knows when that date is until they receive it in the mail. So I have to inform them what the law is. I don't tell them to keep driving because I don't want them to break the law.
Right.
I do know that the state is typically a week behind, so they probably have a week leeway in there.
Sure.
Now, there's something, and you may not know this. We represent drivers from all over the country here at Levitt Law Firm.
Okay.
Here in the middle of the mitten here, state of Michigan, for driver's license restoration. If you were once a Michigan licensed driver and you now live in one of the other 49 states.
Okay.
And back when you did live in Michigan, you had multiple convictions for drinking and driving, two or more within 7 years or three within 10, and your license is completely revoked, meaning you cannot drive at all. If that's the case and you live in another state, that state is not going to issue a driver's license until you clear up Michigan.
Right.
So we do a lot of out-of-state license restoration cases under those scenarios. But there's something called the Driver's License Compact.
Okay.
And we're going to talk about that. What is the Driver's License Compact? Do you have any idea?
I would think it's probably something along the lines of Michigan talks with all the other states to kind of keep them in check with what's going on with your driver's license. And until you get things cleared up, they won't allow you to get a license in another state.
Nick the Beard is agreeing with you on that.
Yes, he is.
I would have to say it sounds like it's something that where the two states collaborate or whatever state you're looking for, and it's going back, looking at your record.
It takes them some time, though. When we come back from a break, we will talk more about that, because this has to do with, I mean, if you live in any of the 50 states, this is helpful information for you.
And we have listeners all over the country.
Yeah.
California, Texas, Arkansas, South Dakota. Big shout out to our friend in South Dakota. He knows who he is.
Ohio.
Rhode Island.
Yeah, everywhere.
Florida, Illinois, Indiana. Notice how I said Illinois, not Illinois. It's not
good.
Illinois.
Good answer.
So we appreciate all our listeners out there. Yeah, Driver's License Compact. What is it, and how could it affect you in any one of the 50 states when we come back from break right here on the Tide 11 Law Show featuring Craig Russell, The Hustle, and now Nick the Beard, who's inked out from top to bottom over there. We'll be right back on the Todd's Rock Block.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. I am Nick the Beard, along with Craig Russell, Todd L. Levitt. And something that we got coming up in the near future is the United States of Weed. It's going to be a separate podcast dealing with anything and everything cannabis here in the United States. We'll have a Twitter going, we'll have a new podcast, and we're really excited to be bringing that to you. I'll be hosting, and you'll hear familiar voices of...
Okay.
You'll hear some familiar voices with Craig Russell and also Todd Levitt.
Can't wait for the United States of Weed podcast. And on this show, we'll be talking about what's coming up on that podcast.
Yeah.
It's not going to be a radio show, strictly
nope.
A podcast.
Yep.
But next week, and I can't wait for that show to take place, but next week on this show, we're going to have a veterinarian on the show.
Talking about the effects of maybe cannabis with pets. And I'm sure there's goods and bads for both of it. I'm sure
yeah.
they're going to be helpful things and also bad things. And we'll talk all about that.
But Nick has a bearded dragon, yep. And I have a lot of questions in regards to my farm animal issues because I grew up in the city and had no idea that there was a difference between cattle and milking cows. I thought they were all just cattle cows, but obviously milk comes from somewhere. That's a big shout out to all my milk dairy farmer friends out there. But hey,
what about chocolate milk? Where's chocolate milk come from?
Hey, by the way, I want to thank the family from Brighton, Michigan.
Okay.
After I shred the gnar at the mud, sweat, and beers, I was completely just, you know, exhausted.
Yeah.
For a moment. And there was a family parked next to my truck that said, hey, would you like some Guernsey's chocolate milk?
Ooh.
I actually know the family that owns Guernsey's dairy,
yum.
The Kinvilles
good
from
stuff.
Novi, Michigan. Yeah,
good
they
stuff.
Were great football players, Joe and Mike Kinville at Central Michigan University, Fire Up Chips, all our alma mater.
Chips. That's right.
So I had a Guernsey's. I always support Guernsey's.
Chocolate milk is great when you're repairing your body from massive exercise and doing shredding an arm for 25 miles up and down the hills in Mount Holiday.
Yeah.
You needed that.
Did I mention Jordan Wakely won that race with Kickbush coming in second?
Yeah,
I finished an hour later.
You didn't mention that.
Big, Big Hero was not in that race. Chris Taylor's not in that race. No, I know.
It would have been better.
Well, yeah. Hey, driver's license compact.
Yes.
So the driver's license compact is an interstate compact used by states across this country to exchange, Craig Russell, you and Nick were right, information concerning license suspensions and traffic violations of non-residents, and they are then forwarded to the state in which you live in or you're licensed in. And so the question is, and the theme is, one driver, one license, one record. And the home state would treat the offense as if it had been committed in your home state. Now, for instance, we are in the state of Michigan, but we have listeners all over the country.
Right.
So let's take California. We have a lot of listeners in California.
Okay.
Somebody in California is visiting the state of Michigan. He or she gets pulled over, arrested for allegedly, because they're innocent until proven guilty, although you could argue otherwise, arrested for operating while intoxicated, a 6.93-day misdemeanor. They are found guilty. It gets reduced to a 4.93-day operating while visibly impaired. Now, okay. Once you're caught in Michigan, Michigan will issue you a Michigan driver's license number. Did you know that?
Oh, I didn't know that. Wow.
Yeah, absolutely. And the fact of the matter is your ability to operate a motor vehicle, albeit you're from California, is restricted in the state of Michigan. The question is, how will that affect your California driving privileges? Well, the question is California part of the driver's license compact?
I would think California is. They are.
Correct.
Who isn't? Are there any states that aren't part of it?
Most states now are part of the compact. You know, you can look it up online. National Center for Interstate Compacts publishes a list of all the states, and it looks like most of this, Michigan's part of it.
Sure.
And it indicates the year they joined this compact. So now the question is California going to restrict your license, Nick, for 90 days? That's the question.
Since you previously said they're going to treat it as an offense in your home state, I would assume that California would also restrict you over, even though it was in Michigan. And you're in a different state, they're going to still restrict you.
That's correct. So what will happen is Michigan gets notified, and then it goes out on this compact across the country, and it usually takes a couple weeks to a month, sometimes 2 months, before your home state will pick up on this.
Right.
And then they'll then issue sanctions against you. There is some kind of insurance called I think it's R22. Some states actually require almost separate insurance on top
true.
Of your
yeah.
policy. So
yeah.
That's the driver's license compact. I find it interesting because one of my specialties is driver's license restoration and drinking and driving offenses that I represent people in. I get these questions all the time.
Now, I have a question for you. So let's say you live in Michigan, like we do, and you get pulled over, blah, 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 and you get this, you know, you plead guilty, you get your driver's license suspended, et cetera, et cetera. What happens if then you move to California and you try and get a California driver's license? Will that follow you like that exactly the same way? Or would you say, oh, I don't have a driver's license. You try to apply for a brand new license? Or is it you're just going to keep being followed?
So the question is, you're in Michigan or you're in any state where a listener may be listening, and you're a resident of that state, you're a licensed driver of that state, and you're convicted of a drink and a driving offense, and your state takes action against you, and then you pick up and move to another state, like say from Illinois to Arkansas.
Sure.
Or Illinois to South Dakota. Well, at that point in time, you're still not a resident of that new state.
So the question is, once you become a resident of that new state, when you give up residency in your old state,
right,
you actually have to give your up your driver's license, turn it in
right.
to the Department of State in the state in which you live. That's the first part of being a resident in a new state.
Sure.
That new state will not take action against you. They're not going to pile on double jeopardy.
Okay.
Because at the time of the offense, you were not a licensed driver already in that state.
So would you, but if you go, let's say you've had your license suspended in one state, you can't go to another state and get a license there.
No.
You?
So it, the it question is if your license is revoked.
Right.
There's a difference between being suspended and revoked.
Okay.
For instance, in the state of Michigan, if you get two alcohol-related convictions or any combination of any alcohol-related convictions operating a motor vehicle within 7 years, you're going to get revoked, not suspended. You're going to be revoked indefinitely. You become eligible after a year to apply for a restricted license with an ignition interlock device on your motor vehicle. We have individuals who move out of state all the time. And when they left the state of Michigan, they never went back to the department, to the Secretary of State to apply for a restricted license. So now they're living in Colorado and they don't have any driving privileges. So there's something called an out-of-state restoration. They contact our office. This is not a solicitation, but we do a lot of these cases. And we are able to go through the Michigan legal system and assist them in reinstating their, well, it's not even reinstating their driving privileges. We go through the process to get Michigan to conclude that they are sober and likely to remain sober, and they meet the threshold to have the revocation set aside, which then opens up the doorway for whatever state they live in to apply for a license now. So they're not even, so if you're revoked in one state, such as Michigan, move to California, California can't give you a license because they're part of the compact. You have to first clear up Michigan before California will give you a license.
Boy, if you
did that make sense?
It made a lot of sense.
Did that make sense, Nick the Beard?
It does make sense, but it just seems like there's a lot of gray area and muddy water to where you have to backtrack, clear yourself in your home state before you get in any involvement in driving in another state.
Well, if you're revoked in Michigan, meaning your license is gone, not suspended, revoked, there is a point in time where you'll become eligible based on an overall formula to apply for a restricted license. If during that time period you left the state and become a resident of another state, and part of the application process for us to reinstate your privileges is that we have to show that you left the state, you're gone, and you're gone for good, and you've actually established residency in another state. And on top of that residency, you're sober and likely to remain sober. And we do that through different documents and, you know, representation of letters and character references and evaluations and drug screens and so on. That state can then, we can then have Michigan release the revocation, opening the way, pay $125 reinstatement fee and open the way for whatever state you live in to get a full license.
I'm going to tell you this much. There's a lot.
That was a lot.
There's a lot of information.
We have to re-listen to the podcast on that one.
There's a lot of information.
Because I didn't even take a breath.
And of course, if you have any questions, 989-772-6000.
No, it's not a slip. No.
No, but they can call your office and you can't
right,
help them out. That is the
point.
But
this show, I appreciate that, but this show is not a solicitation.
No, but.
But we do get a lot of calls.
There is a lot of information.
So. We had another medical marijuana question.
Didn't we?
We did. Nick, yes. What is the question?
How long does it take to receive a registry identification card?
So if somebody is applying for, let's just talk about Michigan law, which we're about to become recreational at the end of this year. MCL 333.26426 subsection C, parenthesis C, requires that the Michigan Medical Marijuana Program approve or deny an application, Nick, within 15 business days of when the application is received. So that's it. They have to approve or deny your application within 15 business days. Now, another section of the law requires that they either issue a registry identification or a denial letter within 5 days of the date the application is approved or denied. So within that first 15 days, they can either approve or deny you, and then they have 5 business days, to send the denial letter to inform you as to why.
Now, when we come back from break, because we have to take a break, I've got a couple more questions about that and also about other things having to do with medical marijuana licenses, not only in Michigan, but in other states. But we got to take a break.
And Nick is going to preview the first podcast of the United States of Weed, hosted by Nick the Beard, featuring The Hustle and The Law. We'll be right back.
So my cigarettes and drink my beer.
Welcome back to the Todd L. Levitt Law Show. Coming back strong with my fake voice once again. This is not my real voice, Craig Russell.
No, your real voice is much higher.
Yeah, I like Nick's voice. Nick the Beard is in the studio. And if you're just tuning in for the first time, Nick the Beard has been behind the scenes on the show for a few weeks now. And we had to bring him on because, Nick, you're just certified and bona fide, and you're just a cool guy, man.
Thank you. Thank you.
You got a beard, long beard. You got the big earrings, the big holes.
Yep.
You've got two tats, one on one sleeve, one on the other.
Yep.
The explanation is you got one that's a ship in a storm.
Yes.
And then the other side is the calm after the storm.
Yeah, there's hot air balloon carrying out that ship that went through the storm. It's all beat up. It's all tattered. It's all broken, but it's still making its way through.
And you are a outdoor enthusiast, as
absolutely
most of our listeners, and we are also. You fish.
Fish, like, it's my job.
What's the best thing? Okay, I always talk about mountain biking.
Okay.
The rush I get just thinking about, I think about biking all day, getting out on that single track or backcountry gravel road. The rush. Do you get the same rush?
Oh, absolutely. Even if we don't go out and catch anything, it's just enjoying out there, being outside, feeling the sun, being out with nature, and not seeing stuff that you would typically see if you're in the city.
Now, we are a law show, but we love the outdoors here. We are in the middle of the mitten, a beautiful green nutrient field, pure Michigan baby. I'm born in a D, and you're born in a thumb, and I think Craig's from KZU. If you were part of the Michigan Tourist Board, what would you tell all of our listeners all over the country and the world about Michigan and fishing?
I would say you can go out there and catch fish pretty much any body of water. The type that you can catch out here is you can go after walleye, delicious fish. You can see them pretty much in the lake, the river. We have perch, we have bass, we have salmon. We have pretty much any freshwater fish that anywhere else has to offer, all contained within our state.
When I lived downstate, I lived on a lake.
Okay.
I used to troll with my kayak, just trolling along and fishing.
Okay.
And I was trolling because a kayak obviously can go along the edges.
Yeah.
Something hit the side of my kayak. I looked down and it looked like a dinosaur to me. I had never seen this type of fish before.
You know what that fish probably was?
It was a gar pike.
A gar pike.
Yeah. I'm just telling you, I had never seen this before. I had no idea what I was looking at.
They look
Can you explain what a gar pike looks like?
Okay. It's a skinny looking fish, but it's got a long mouth that looks like an alligator. That nose is probably, I mean, once they get full grown, you're probably sitting 18, 24 inches.
I thought I had made a discovery. I was ready to call the Discovery Channel, the news, and something like that.
You know, we do have some prehistoric beasts in our water.
What do we have?
Sturgeon, Lake Sturgeon. Back in my area, Port Huron, Michigan, they actually set up breeding grounds for them. And these fish can get 14 foot long, weigh a couple hundred pounds, and they can reach years up to 100.
Sturgeon River is awesome. That's a fast moving river, by the way.
Oh, yeah. And you know, that big of a fish, you wouldn't think it's a bottom eater. It sits on the bottom, you know, eats little bugs, little muck, nothing crazy. It's not going to take off an arm or a leg, you know, but if you got to see one, you'd be a little intimidated.
I used to raise fish.
What
and
kind of
freshwater
fish?
Fish. I had Picosomus.
Okay.
I had tiger barbs.
Really?
Oh yeah, Oscars.
Okay.
I had albino frogs.
Am I
talking fish here?
Not the type of fish I'm going at, but hey,
I understand.
You're in some type of fish.
And growing up, who didn't have their traditional goldfish in a bowl?
Absolutely.
But I didn't know I was supposed to clean the bowl, and it got so foggy, I finally said to my mother, I'm 4 years old with a foggy fish bowl. I said, Mom, I can't see my fish. And she said, well, why don't you clean it? I'm 4 years old. I can't see the goldfish in the foggy bowl. How the heck am I supposed to clean out the fish bowl at 4 years old? What do I know about cleaning a fish bowl at 4 years old?
I'm going to say
I had no idea. All I knew was when I would go places, I would see people eat goldfish. I didn't know that my mom would give me a little goldfish in a bowl and become foggy because it had to be cleaned out.
Did the fish die?
Fish died all the time. Flush it down the toilet. My fish are scattered through the Detroit River. So, but hey, we are a law show.
I was going to say, we're back to the Todd L. Levitt fish show.
I know, but it is spring in the state of Michigan. And, you know, just get out there. Look, we are a law show. We love talking to our listeners. And if you're a listener out there, let us know where you're from. ToddLevittLawShow@gmail.com. ToddLevittLawShow@gmail.com. We try to talk about things universal now because we have so many listeners listening to the podcast on Libsyn and Spotify and SoundCloud, Podbean, all iTunes, the Android apps, iTunes. Yep. Check us out on iTunes, Libsyn. So we try to talk about things, but send us an email. Let us know what you want us to talk about. Next week, we have a veterinarian coming on. I haven't said his name yet in case he cancels. Okay. I don't want to put that on him, but he's real. We already talked to him today. Okay. He marked it in his book. I was at his office. All right. He's going to be coming on the show talking about how cannabis, CBDs, has affected the pets in our lives. It's going to be a great show, so make sure you tune in for that. And Nick the Beard is here to, because he's always here.
Right.
And he's going to be hosting the new podcast that you and I are part of called The
United States of Weed.
Exactly.
I know. You go, I wonder what that has to do with. I couldn't begin to tell you.
Exactly.
Hey, I had a question. We were talking about getting your medicinal marijuana card and applications and all that kind of stuff. What happens to that process in the state of Michigan, so people know, in the state of Michigan, hopefully is going to be a ballot initiative this year come November to vote.
Well, they already, talked about this last week. They already, the Board of Canvassers already approved all the signatures, but the legislature has 40 days to do something.
That's right.
Here's the question.
Okay.
The question is, and this is from another listener.
All right.
How do I register a minor under the age of 18 within the Michigan medical marijuana program? Isn't that what you were about to ask me?
Well, it wasn't, but that's a great question.
What were you about to ask me?
Well, I was about to ask you, what happens if...
We need to be medicated, you and I.
No, I think we need to have a mind meld or something.
Okay,
like
go
that.
Ahead. But
Mike, well, can I answer your question? Take a guess at your question first?
Sure.
Take a guess. I'm going to say you can't.
Wrong.
You really? Okay.
Well, the answer is the parent or legal guardian of a minor under 18 must submit in an envelope a complete medical marijuana packet, which can be found on Michigan's, you know, .gov MMP website.
Okay.
So you got the application form. You need two complete physician certificates signed by two different physicians, a complete declaration of personal responsible form, proof of parentage, obviously, or legal guardianship, and a copy of minor's a government-issued birth certificate, proof of Michigan residency for the minor's parent or legal guardian, which could mean one of the following, a copy of the parents or legal guardians, you know, Michigan driver's license, and there's some other identification. But so, yes, if you are under the age of 18 and you qualify with two separate, not one, but two different physician forms, you know, you can apply if you meet the requirements.
See, now that actually answers my original question, which was going to be, if in Michigan marijuana becomes recreational in, at the end of this year, what happens to the process of applying for a medical marijuana card when you don't need one anymore because you'll be able to just walk into, if you're an adult, and buy one? But obviously children,
well,
that would be one of the reasons you would still need
it. It's going to be 21 and over.
Right.
So if you're 18 to 21, my guess is that you're still going to be able to possess a medical marijuana card, I hope. And I'm still guessing, and I'm pretty accurate, that you'll still be able to obtain registration for a minor if they're under the age of 18, if you're a parent or guardian and have the right application process. Nick, what do you got to say about that?
That's what I was kind of curious about. If you're under 21 but above the age of 18, would it have to be medical?
Absolutely. I don't think the law is going to change in that regard.
I would agree. I think that's probably the way it's going to have to be. And plus, now here's another question, and you might not know the answer to this. Let's say it goes recreational.
Okay.
When it goes recreational, is there going to be a difference in amounts that you can purchase or have on you if it's between medicinal or recreational? Would you be able to have more if you have a medicinal marijuana card, or would it be the exact same amount and it'll all kind of even out?
From what I read, and I'm not sure if I'm correct on this, I saw 2.5 ounces and you could have up to 12 plants for recreational use without a license. Is that true?
Sounds accurate. You just put me on the spot, but it sounds accurate because right now under the program, if you're a cardholder and you're your own caregiver in the state of Michigan, you can possess 12 plants, 2.5 ounces. But here's the problem. When the Michigan Medical Marijuana Act came about in 2008, there was a lot of gray areas. So if you're growing 12 plants, 2.5 ounces, okay, that's all I need to say. Enough said. All right. Anyhow, that's all I'm going to say.
That's all you need to
but
say.
But there was a lot of issues and there was a lot of problems in the law because, you know, what was the plant? What made up the plant? People were getting arrested. They were getting charged. And it was just a lot of gray areas out there. People were getting, you know, the weight. So law enforcement, and I'm not blaming law enforcement. We support law enforcement.
Sure.
I blame, you know, the men and women who enact these laws before they're really defined and narrowed. So law enforcement, you know, they're sworn to uphold and protect the citizens and follow the law. It really goes back to who wrote the law, who wrote the law. It really goes back to who drafted the law.
Yeah, all they do is follow the law.
What was happening, people were getting arrested while their plants were drying. They weren't dry material, and they were weighing the portion of the plant that was still drying. And that eventually went up to the upper courts, and that was fixed. But can you imagine if you know anybody out there, take any plant. It can be a tree, anything. And compare that, you know, to something that's dried out. Like a living plant that's wet compared to something that's dried. You're going to have a lot of weight there if you add the wetness into it.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear about those cases?
I did not hear about those cases, but it makes sense. Because when you got something that's got, you know, heavy stems, wet leaves that have moisture, it's going to be a significant amount of weight added onto that prior to it drying out.
You did a better job of explaining that than I just did.
I was going to say, think about it this way. If you have a pair of wet socks or a pair of dry socks, which weighs more?
It's definitely going to be those wet socks.
Because at least in Michigan, you know, usable marijuana means the dried leaves, the flower, the plant, the resin, or extract of the plant. It does not include the seeds, the stalks, and roots of the plant.
That's right.
So, I mean, that's what we're sort of talking about here.
Speaking of cannabis and marijuana, hey, let's get a preview of the United States of Weed by the host. That would be Nick the Beard.
I am pretty stoked to bring out the United States of Weed. We're bringing a new podcast. We're going to be hosting it on all the same podcasting stations that you find the Todd L. Lovett Law Show on.
It's not a radio show. This is strictly a podcast.
Strictly podcast. I'm going to be running the show. Craig Russell's going to be co-hosting along with Todd L. Lovett.
So the hustle, Nick the Beard, and the law will all be part of the United States of Weed podcast, and we will announce the first episode here on our show and where the listeners can catch it. And what are we going to be talking about on the first episode?
First episode, we're really going to dive into what we're about, what we're going to be talking about, what you can expect, and even, you know, stuff that doesn't relate just into the state of Michigan, but stuff that's going on with cannabis all around the United States.
What's the difference between marijuana with a J versus an H? We're going to be talking about that on the first podcast.
Absolutely, because that came to my attention through something that came into my mail about the city I live in and how I thought it was a misspelling, but it looks like it's going to be something else.
We're also going to be talking about on the first podcast how there are states around the country that are clearing marijuana convictions. So there's a lot to talk about on the new podcast. But hey, we have to go. We're out of time. So
show's over.
Craig Russell, great show.
Good show as you as well.
Good show. Thank you. I want to thank you, Nick the Beard, all our sponsors, and Black Diamond Group. I'm not just a litigator. I'm an advocator. Take us out with a little Joe Jackson, and we'll see you same time, same place next week.
The Todd L. Lovett Law Show, brought to you by Chad Malleywell Drilling of Rosebush, Clark Modular Homes, your most experienced and trusted builder in Mount Pleasant, Mackinac Properties and Northern Michigan Vacation Rentals, buying, selling, and renting properties in the Straits of Mackinac region since 1998, Harrison Power Sports, Central Michigan's fastest growing full-line Arctic Cat dealer, and Dr. Robert Townsend and Denali Healthcare for your alternative healthcare needs.
Opinions expressed on this radio program do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station.